This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Yes, heading into Thanksgiving and the holidays. Stock up now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Very pleased to be joined by the outstanding Missy Matthews from the Steelers Network. Missy, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show.
Hey, thank you so much. It's, Thursday night football, busy week, but excited about tomorrow.
Yeah, no question. The game with Baltimore, you know, you're down there on the field. What's it like for you in the field to see that kind of rivalry play out with that kind of hitting the way it plays out?
I love it. I really, really love Steelers and Ravens. It doesn't matter, even if both teams didn't have the records that they did. It is always just entertaining, physical, as you said, the chippiness. If somebody got thrown out on Sunday, I don't think anybody would have, you know, blinked or been surprised. But I think it's also just, it's the respect, love, hate relationship that the two organizations have with each other. You know, Coach Tomlin and John Harbaugh, exchange pleasantries on the field before the game, and then they just go into the zone. And Mike Tomlin was extra jacked on Sunday, something that I've never seen him do before. When the player intros are happening, he's normally on the sideline around the 50. He walked almost in front of probably where a lot of the camera and video guys were not happy, to kind of take in his players running out. He had the defense introduced, and you could just tell that they were ready to go. But I will say, even on that first drive, when they got the ball out of Derrick Henry and were able to recover it, when they came to the sideline, it wasn't this big celebration. It was like, all right, let's lock in. We got more work to do. It's early. So there wasn't that wave of high and low emotions.
In my sports broadcasting class here at Penn State on Monday, you know, you try to remind them of certain things. And I said, look, I want to remind everybody, there are multiple ways in which you can win a game. I said yesterday, Sunday, was one of them. And, of course, it's the second time this season they've done it with six field goals. How important is it for especially young broadcasters to understand it's about winning and there's just multiple ways to do it?
I mean, it is, very interesting the fact that they've done it twice now. In the first week, you think, okay, it's week one of the regular season. Kirk Cousins just coming back. Everyone's kind of getting their groove. Justin Fields is the starter. Russ Wilson isn't playing, but it's just how the game unfolded. But imagine if Justin Tucker made one of those field goals that he missed, or if Chris Boswell wasn't 6-for-6. It's just crazy because we always call the scoregami when it's Steelers-Ravens, because sometimes you can figure out multiple crazy ways with, like, adding a safety that you can get to their scores, because they're always so obscure and it's never a shootout usually.
All right, so you've had a chance now to watch Russell Wilson up close on the field. That's how he plays. And this is not going to be, I'm not looking for a Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson thing. That's not what I'm looking for here. What are you seeing in how Wilson, the veteran, handles this offense that's made a difference in how this offense plays?
I think, honestly, Steve, you'd have to go all the way back to when he signed in free agency. he had guys, flew him out to California, his house in San Diego, before OTAs even started. He just has that, like, he knows how to lead. He's been there before. He knows how to bring guys together. He knows the extra work that has to go into it. Every Tuesday is a player's day off. Russell Wilson is always in the building. Always in the building at the same time. Then he goes to Children's Hospital and he visits and surprises, you know, a bunch of the kids that are unfortunately there. He is very regimented. He knows what he's doing. And I think for a lot of the guys who probably, you know, didn't love how last year ended and even the year before and just the ups and downs of the different quarterbacks, this was a chance to have somebody who's been there, done that guy. And even when Justin Fields was starting, Russell Wilson, I mean, if you could put him in his full uniform and give him, you know, his helmet, like he would want to be looking at it, looking at his wristband. Even in the preseason, he was like that when he couldn't do stuff. And I just think that guys gravitate towards his leadership, the extra work that he puts in, and even the relationship that Russ and Justin Fields have fostered. You know, this could go a number of ways, and I'm sure there's places where, you know, if that was the situation of quarterbacks, they might not see eye to eye. They might, you know, not want to help each other. And maybe it's the 10-year difference, but those two guys certainly have each other's backs and bounce ideas off of each other. And it's not this, well, you know, screw him, I want to be the starter type mentality. They just, those two guys don't have that.
It's interesting, Missy, you know, the people I work with, you know, I work with Jackie and people like that, you know, every week. Tell the dog
Sorry,
to
that's
sit.
My dog barking at somebody.
Okay, first of all, what kind of dog is it?
Well, it's a golden retriever. His name is Duke. And, I'm still not over Ben Herb Street. Duke is 12, That's what we tell him. He has to live forever.
Missy, I had two Goldens, and they both got to 10. All right, so enjoy the. I love golden retrievers. Somebody was telling me that Russell Wilson, who, as you mentioned, goes out and visits. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was told he goes to the Steelers store and he buys the gear himself, and then he distributes
that's cool.
it. Right. And I sat back and I thought that tells me a lot about the guy. I mean, what does that tell you?
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, and, you know, he's not doing it for the clout either.
Exactly.
You know, I totally understand the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh is one of the most amazing children's hospitals in the country. I understand why when he's there, they're posting photos, but Russ isn't going there for the photos. He's engaged with them. And even the Pittsburgh Penguins were there 1 week. They brought, you know, a large number of their team and just happened to run into Russ in one of the rooms. And he just kind of said, hey, and was like excited to see them and that they were doing it too. But that's awesome though, that, as you said, if he's going to buy it and that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. What his ability to throw the deep ball and put touch on it, he puts a lot of air underneath it. What has just even the attempts that he's made to do it done to open up the offense, and what has it done to maybe even open up the running game because he is taking shots?
I think it's huge, and the fact that you're seeing them work, of course, not everyone is going to be successful, but I think that you're seeing it, especially during those first two starts against the Jets and the Giants, knocking the rust off of Russ, and just the fact that now you're always going to have to know where George Pickens is, but they can utilize him in different ways. And I'm a huge fan of Arthur Smith, the Steelers' new offensive coordinator, and what he has done for them. But as you said, now you don't know what Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris is going to do when they're in, because sometimes they can catch a ball in the flat, or sometimes they can run the ball well, and you have to account for where everybody's at. And I think Mike Williams is a perfect example. Was traded about 3 o'clock on a Tuesday. About 3 o'clock the following Sunday, you know, he's catching a go-ahead touchdown from Russ. And I just think that is something that they lacked with Justin Fields. He had other strong suits that Russ doesn't have, but I think the deep ball definitely helps, especially with the way they want to be physical and run the ball, like you said.
Yeah, I do like Van Jefferson. I thought that was a nice acquisition the offseason. Austin's fine. What do you think a guy like Mike Williams, in his own small way, can add that can help out, maybe offset a George Pickens?
I think it's another large body, and I am interested to see, especially with the, you know, the woes in the red zone going 0-4 against Baltimore, George, Mike Williams, Darnell Washington, who's, you know, kind of become a favorite, Pat Freiermuth, one of your guys, utilizing a lot of those big guys at the same time. You can't take away what Mike Williams could potentially do. You can't just, you know, say, oh, well, we got George, we don't care where Mike is. I think that hopefully that's something that we start to see creep more into the offenses. You know, Arthur Smith is more comfortable with him, and they're having more time to actually work together.
You brought up Pat, so I'm going to flip it to the other side. The guy that ended up making the play on Lamar Jackson at the end of the game was Joey Porter Jr. What have you seen, Missy, on the field, his growth as a defensive back in his second year in the league?
I think it's just cleaning up the little things, some of the technique things, some of the penalties. I know Washington was one of those games where people could say, you know, he could have cost it, of course. But I just think the confidence that he came in as a rookie, you're seeing it even more now in his second year and being comfortable with the defense. I also love that, you know, that was a huge play that he made. We cannot underestimate that. But the fact that, because there are so many loud members of the Steelers defense whose voices you usually hear, they said that Joey somehow is the quiet one. He's not like his dad in that manner. He kind of gave them a little pep talk when they called that timeout. And he knew exactly what to do. Coach Tomlin, Joey's position coach, Grady Brown, told him, stay in your lane, do your job. And that's exactly what he did. And that, what a big time play by a second year guy, but just somebody who I think everybody is comfortable with in terms of what he can do. And I think even bringing in Dante Jackson, a veteran, obviously a lot more experience playing for a way different team, but just the pieces around him too are helping him grow. You can't discount having a Minkah Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward. You could go through the list of guys, but huge play by him. He was excited, but then I saw after the game, CBS took a shot of his dad in the box, you know, celebrating. And I was like, well, I think, you know, PZ probably celebrated a little bit more than Joey, but good for him.
But see, but that's, you know, it, you know, like you, I've been around Joey a lot. It's just the way he is.
I mean, right.
You know, he doesn't have to have the same personality as his dad. He just has to be the first Joey Porter Jr. He doesn't have to be Joey Porter Sr.
Exactly.
T.J. Watt is a special, special talent. What is his presence meaning maybe to the production of other guys on that defensive front just by his mere presence?
I think that's why you are seeing the Cam Haywards of the world, even Dean Lowry, a free agent, they added, being able to swat the ball down to get the sacks because teams have to account. We were kind of laughing when we were discussing the crew for the Ravens game, and the only good thing was that, you know, they usually let teams play, but they call offensive holding, and we all looked at each other when we were, you know, meeting with our radio team, and we're like, wait, does this mean TJ is going to get a call? You know, because he's held all the time, and you can't call it all the time, but it happens. But he fights through it. He knows how to turn on that switch. TJ is just, you know, I think Coach said, you know, visiting from another planet is probably the best way to put it, because the amount of work he does, he's also one of those guys, same schedule, same routine, takes care of his body, is very careful what he puts in it in terms of what he eats, and just sometimes you're kind of at a loss for words when you describe what TJ's able to do. And I think it's great that Nick Herbig is back, but I really hope Alex Highsmith comes back soon, because I think with those three healthy, you add in Preston Smith, those are some edge guys you probably don't want to have to deal with down the road.
Right, and because of TJ, the guys on the other side are going to get a single. They're not going to get chipped by a running back or a tight end, because they've got to concentrate on TJ. He's the number one guy.
Right, and I know the sack numbers aren't there, but it's TJ doesn't have to record stats to impact a game, and we see that all the time. And I'm very territorial in the whole Myles Garrett, you know, saying he should apologize. I mean, TJ's class act. He took the high road. You know, he didn't go where I think Myles was trying to get him to go, and I respect that, and I just think he lets his play talk. That is just how he is wired, and he is intense. And they joked, you know, he sometimes gives pregame speeches in the locker room, and that he's broken a helmet before because he's, you know, firing them up. It's in his hand, and all of a sudden he throws it, and part of it cracks. So watch out for TJ pregame.
Yeah. I think most Steeler fans would probably feel like they've been going for years trying to somehow find another Ryan Shazier type of player. Patrick Queen is the guy that they were able to get from Baltimore. So now, Missy, you get a chance, instead of seeing him a couple times a year, you get to see him on an everyday basis. What has his impact been on the defense, especially in the last month?
I think it's huge. As you said, there have been a number of people that they've either drafted, signed in free agency to try to fit that role that Ryan Shazier played. And it's, you know, you go back and watch film of when he played, and you're just, you know, you almost have to remind yourself how good he was and how good he was young. We called it the summer of Shazier, the year that he was drafted. He was plucked right in with the ones, and that didn't always happen with the Steelers defense. But I think Patrick Queen is you don't want to call him a veteran. You know, he's kind of there. It's not like he has the tenure of Cam Hayward. But the fact that he's the green dot, the fact that he plays every single snap, the fact that even in that game against the Ravens, when Coach Tomlin sends you out for the coin toss, that's something they never do. It's the four captains and that's it. But they sent PQ out there. You know, he deserved that to set the tone. He still did not let the emotions of going against the people that did not want you, have not spoken to you since, you know, that all went down in the offseason. And I just think that what he brings, the consistency and obviously being able to communicate well, because last year we talked about this for a number of weeks of the defense not being on the same page. And their old defensive coordinator, Keith Butler, always said, as long as you're all running the same play, even if it's wrong, it's better than half and half.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the old Bill O'Brien thing at Penn State practices when he started here. He says, just run what you think it is. one final question for you. What has been the reaction in Pittsburgh to what they have done to get to this point? And are people believing now what they're seeing? Because it seemed like for a long period of time there was some doubt, and now they just keep winning.
Yeah, I think being a Steelers fan growing up and obviously covering the team now, winning ugly is not something unusual. I do think sometimes that can give fans the avenue to nitpick or to say, well, you know, that just happened to go the right way. And I remember the 2020 season, the COVID year, which was just, you know, bizarre in itself, but going 11-0, you never just felt good about it. It was kind of like, maybe we are getting lucky bounces. For some reason this year, even from my standpoint, feels different. And I think that the players feel that as well. And I think they are, they're getting to the place where they want to be on both sides of the ball. I think offense clearly has a lot more work, but at the right time, you want to play your best football at the end of November into December and making the playoff push. And I think fans feel that as well. And it's not just this like overly optimistic thing that's going on. I think you can feel it throughout.
Missy, you do marvelous work. The entire network, I had a great talk yesterday with Rob King. I was on his podcast yesterday. But you do marvelous work, and thanks so much for the time you gave us today. I really appreciate it.
You got it. No problem. Yeah, I was talking to Rob about you at lunch yesterday, so he said all nice things.
Oh, good. Oh, what a relief. He's the first one ever. All right. Missy, thank you. Appreciate you so much.
All right. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Missy Matthews. Doing great work on the Steelers Network.